Today on Seculo, cross the border illegally, get a free smartphone. That and more today on the broadcast.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Hey, welcome to Seculo. That is not a joke, by the way, the tease the broadcast. The Biden administration's plan to deal with the surge of illegal immigrants that are going to be coming to the border. They're already coming to the border, but will be crossing illegally. So remember, it's estimated around 18,000 a day. So a monthly total, you're talking about 600,000 people plus a month. But don't worry. The Biden administration's plan, this, again, not a joke, this is real, is to provide the illegal border crossers, which they call irregular migrants. That's their new term for it. Irregular. They don't want to call them illegal. Cell phones. Now, why are they providing them the cell phones? So that they can track them and check in with them. So then when they know when their hearing's coming up. Now,
what if they give them to somebody else?
You don't have to be extremely sophisticated, right, to get around this plan and still get a free phone. So you just switch your phones with someone else, and then the government's tracking the wrong person. Take a listen. This is Peter Ducey asking Jen Psaki about this. I want you to understand this is real. This is the kind of solution. They're sitting around the table at the White House. They're saying, oh, ta-da, we've got the plan. We've got the idea. We're going to give everybody that comes across illegally a free phone because then we'll track them and we'll call them and check in on them. Take a listen.
Our team in Texas is saying that you guys are starting to give smartphones to border crossers, hoping that they'll use the phones to check in or to be tracked. Which part of that is supposed to deter people from crossing illegally into the states?
Well, I think you of all people, since you've asked me a range of questions on this topic over time, would recognize that we need to take steps to ensure that we know where individuals are and we can track in, and we can check in with them.
You know, I'm going to say this. First of all, and we assume, of course, that the individuals that are coming here illegally are not going to sell that iPhone, okay, or give it to somebody else so they're not tracked, or toss it. But they, you know, sell it, keep it. They may want to keep it. You come here for free. Why are we I know we're doing it for tracking, as if we're going to deport, which we're not. But this shows the policies here. First of all, let's talk, Jordan. 18,000 free iPhones a day? Phones. I may not be iPhones.
Yeah,
phones.
I mean, they've got some deal with the provider. I mean, these are smartphones, though. They're not just flip phones, old flip phones. These are sophisticated smartphones. They have cameras on them, the whole deal. But the question is this, I mean, and Ducey asked it. Don't you think there's, at best, when they all know this is going to be used to track them to try and get them to their court date, which they don't want to go to, because they're already in the country, they've already gotten into the shadow society which exists, you could hand the phone off to someone else, then now the government's tracking the wrong person, and okay, it's absurd. This is a solution. Take a listen, bite three.
With the telephonic, though, any concern by folks around here that these migrants will take the phones and just toss them? And then,
do you have a record of people throwing phones away?
I'm just asking if that's a concern.
Our concern is ensuring that individuals who irregularly migrate to the United States proceed through our process of, of course, being monitored, but also participating in hearings to determine whether or not they will be able to stay.
First of all, they don't show up at those hearings.
Right.
And the ones that do, the system's so overwhelmed they can't even have the hearings.
There's not near enough administrative law judges to handle these
phones
on the
better be pretty good phones because, you know, your cell phones were all used to kind of trading them in and out.
Maybe they'll do the deportation hearing by Zoom.
The backlog's got to be 4 or 5 years.
But it go, you know, and then and Greg Abbott, by the way, the governor of Texas, he's saying, don't worry, we're going to ship everybody to Washington, D.C. We got a lot to talk about. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. We've got a lot of guests today, too.
That's right. Steve Scalise, the GOP whip in the House of Representatives, the number two ranking Republican, is going to be on about oil and gas prices. Those executives were before a subcommittee yesterday. The Democrats blaming them for the inflation and the numbers, even though it's their bad policies. But we're going to talk about that with him, Rick Grinnell, in the second half hour. More on the Hunter Biden laptop. You won't believe the media's latest excuse on why they didn't cover initially. We'll be right back.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Welcome back to Seculo. This is the interesting part, too. This is also not a joke. There's actual bipartisan legislation. We don't see a lot of that these days. And it's got a good friend of ours. James Lankford is the main sponsor, along with Kristen Sinema. So you got, again, they sponsored the bill. The co-sponsors, Thune, Cornyn, and Tillis, Capito, and Portman on the Republican side. But get this, on the Democrat side, you've also got five additional members. You got Mark Kelly, Maggie Hassan, Joe Manchin, John Tester. So you have, again, an actual bipartisan piece of legislation that says,
for real,
you cannot pull back Title 42 until the CDC declares the pandemic is over.
Yeah, so what they want to do, and I think this makes
which,
sense.
Which, by the way, Nancy Pelosi just tested positive for COVID. So the CDC
yesterday
is not going to be saying the pandemic is over.
No, I mean, there's an increase in California schools. I know some of the universities in the District of Columbia may go to online again because of what's happening there. What's interesting about this is twofold. Number one, it's bipartisan support on sponsorship, which, like Jordan said, you don't even see that anymore. But you've got four Democrats, six Republicans. Now, the bill is really smart. It says, look, Title 42 arose out of, and this is what we have to remember, it arose out of what? It arose out of the CDC concerns over spreading the coronavirus. So the bill simply says, look, give us 60 days after the CDC says we're out of the pandemic phase, then implement your changes in an orderly process, which is what would make sense here. But of course, the Biden administration is going to put back on this, but this bill is going to pass. I mean, this bill is passing the Senate. Now, will it pass in the House? I don't know. But it shows you that there is at least enough concerned Democrats and Republicans that we are about to have a migration crisis in the United States in the next 30 days that is going to be unprecedented. Yeah. Unprecedented. Nothing like we've seen in the past.
Yeah.
The incentive of the phone is just another one.
Yeah, if you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Yeah, but you have states like Texas. Listen, they're at wits' end because the federal government, and this is their job, right? It's the federal government's job to secure the borders. And when they don't do it, there has not been a lot of support legally for the states to be able to step in and do what the federal government won't do. The Supreme Court said, oh, it's up to the Congress and the federal government to secure our borders. It's not the state's role. So, they're at wits' end, and so they're chartering buses and say, people want to go
because
somewhere else.
Because border towns can't handle the population increase.
No, these are a small town a day.
Yes.
I mean, think about, not all of you live in big cities who are listening to this broadcast right now. So, if you live in a big city, 18,000 people in a day can kind of get washed in and out. But now you add that up over a month, and you're getting to 600,000 people. So you start feeling
in 3 months or 4 months is the size of the city of Atlanta.
Right. I mean, so this is, and again, their idea is give them a cell phone. Not kidding. Let's go to the phones. Tim in California, online one. Hey, Tim.
Thank you for taking my call. What is the Biden administration thinking? This is crazy. This is insanity. What is to prevent some hacker from hacking the cell phone?
Look, first of all, what prevents them from selling the cell phone? Why do you think they're going to keep it? Why? What if they give it to someone else?
Yeah, we're telling them what we're doing with it. We're tracking
and we're telling
them
you, we're tracking
to,
you.
To eventually throw them but out of the country. So would you keep that phone? No.
Okay, but here's another thing that makes, you got to realize what makes no sense here. We're not prepared to absorb this amount of migration. We're just not. The country is not prepared to do this. We can't take 500,000 plus people a month. Why are they doing this? Because Trump did the opposite and secured the border, so they're going to do this. Okay, I get that. But what are they also thinking? They're thinking in the back of their mind, this will help them in an election down the road.
Yeah. Yeah.
Talk about that for a minute.
This is a long-term plan. They think they're getting the Hispanic vote. Now, the Hispanic vote has been moving towards the Republican Party
yes.
Each election cycle because the citizens in our country, I think that they get that they don't want to be seen as, well, you must be a legal immigrant or you must not be here legally and you're hoping that the government one day makes you legal. And the census, these are families that have been here for decades, sometimes longer than your family might have been here. And they don't want to be seen this way. And they don't support illegal migration. They also might have family members who are trying to legally migrate, who have been waiting in line.
Yep.
But this is the Homeland Security Secretary on CBS just asked straight up, are there going to be more people? Is it going to be more of a problem? And this is the way he answers it by 21.
It's very difficult to predict what that migration will be, but we are planning for different scenarios. We are then at the border, surging resources. What distinguishes us from the past is the fact that we will not implement policies of cruelty that disregard our asylum laws. We are rebuilding a system that was entirely dismantled.
Okay. I want you to go back and remember, folks, what was going on during the Obama administration at the border and the migration camps. And they say they're going to be more humane. More humane would be stay in your country of origin and then seek asylum under our asylum process, which we have in the United States of America. That would be how you handle this. What you don't do, in my opinion, is overload the system, which they know it's going to do, so no one's ever tracked, and the phones are ridiculous. I mean, absolutely preposterous that they're going to get a phone, and that's going to somehow, you know, answer it. Oh, your deportation, you're in, by the way, you're in the state of, you know, North Carolina, you got to come back to Texas for your hearing. So this whole, and the way they say it, what distinguishes us from the past is we're not going to implement policies of cruelty. Actually, you are. Because you're letting so many people come in the system, it's going to be unsafe sanitary conditions. It's going to be unsafe in the communities. It's going to be unsafe for the millions in a course of months of kids and the sex trafficking that goes on, the drug trafficking that goes on. Yeah, that's a policy of problems. Securing a border is not cruel. It's smart.
Yeah, I want to go to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Anna in California, online 3. Hey, Anna.
Thank you for taking my call. I was just wondering, do we know which cell phone company was awarded the contract for all of these phones?
Don't know if it's one, don't know if it's multiple. I mean, the government, you know, would negotiate this plan. It could be something we could do through FOIA if they don't announce it on their own. They're not shying away from this idea, by the way. They think this is a great idea.
Oh, yeah.
They weren't like caught off guard, say, oh no, Fox News found out that we were doing this. They said, no, this is going to work. There's no history of people throwing phones away, but there's no history of something this dumb. I mean, this is absurd. All you have to do, you can keep your free phone, trade it with your friend who's crossed the border illegally. Now the government is tracking the wrong person, and they're never going to be able to contact you about showing up at a hearing that you're not going to.
So they call on that phone and said, we want to speak to person X, and they say, this is not his phone.
Yeah.
Or her phone.
Right. And
wrong
everybody's
I'm sorry,
so you don't
have
to toss
number.
The phone away. You don't have to give it away. You don't have to
no,
trash it. You can use it. And how long does it last? Is this indefinite? Because right now I can't imagine the backlog's got to be at least 3-4 years till your hearing ever gets called. So is this an indefinite free phone contract that you get to utilize? So not only do you get to cross the border, we're incentivizing drug cartels, to utilize, you know, our southern border and bad actors. But we're also, we're going to give you something of value when you cross the border, which is the use of a cellular phone, I guess, with a contract. And you could easily, again, stop the tracking, not by turning even the tracking off, just by trading it with somebody else. They're the same phones, trade it with somebody else, and now no one knows where you are.
What I really don't understand about this is what's the method here? We understand the method, but what is the outcome? What are they trying to accomplish? That's what makes no sense. You want to try to grab one more call before the break?
Let's go to Lynn in Washington State on line two. Hey, Lynn.
Hi, guys. I was wondering if the National Guard could be called out at the border to help stop the influx of these immigrants coming in.
Well, the federal government could. I mean, the federal government
President, it could be the commander-in-chief of the National Guard. But the state attorney, the state governor, who could also call out the National Guard in emergencies, cannot override the immigration policy of the United States that's been decided by the Supreme Court.
They could put them into cities and towns for help with security.
Yes.
But they can't be secondary border agents under the existing legal precedent.
That's correct. And that's where the problem is. By the way, coming up, Steve Scalise, we're going to stay on this topic. We got more to discuss. We'll be taking more of your calls at 800-684-3110. I'm asking this question, Jordan, though. Why are they doing this? What, they know this is going to look horrible on the media, unless they think they'll get another free pass.
I think in a decade, they'll at some point get one of those legalization bills, which, by the way, they have not been able to do.
No, Republicans or Democrats.
They talk about this cruelty, but people are not being legalized in the system. And then they say they hope that at some point, you know, these will become voters and they'll remember which party did this. It'll be the Democrat Party. That's the law. I mean, it is a sick political play because you're incentivizing people to be in horrendous conditions using these cartel-run coyotes, a lot of times trafficking drugs, trafficking humans, sex trafficking. I mean, the list goes on about the bad actions. But yes, they think long-term politically there's going to be a benefit with the Hispanic and Latino vote.
Yeah, no, and this is what's so outrageous about this. Folks, we're in a matching challenge campaign here at the ACLJ for the month of April. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for it. You know, this analysis broadcast comes to you each and every day, 5 days a week, radio, TV, satellite radio, social media platforms. Your support makes all of this possible. We encourage you to go to aclj.org and make an online donation in any amount, and we've got donors that are going to match it at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. We encourage you to do that. When we come back, Congressman Scalise will be joining us later in the broadcast. Our senior advisor, Rick Grinnell, is going to join us as well. So we got a lot ahead. 800-684-3110. Back with more in a moment.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
know, the callers ask about what the National Guard can do.
Right.
And so in Texas, one of the issues that they are doing is they are doing mass migration of Israel. So like I was talking about, they can be used to secure the cities,
correct,
and towns and
like
people,
police.
like police, yeah, on a more, you know, on a different scale. And I think that's where you can see what they can't do is replace, they can't be backup Customs and Border Patrol agents. They're not allowed to do that. The law is clear. That's why even Governor Abbott talked about the charter buses. They're charter buses. They are not like just, so they are people making decisions. You want to go to Washington, D.C.? We'll get you on a bus to Washington.
It's also a political thing for Greg.
Yeah, of course, because the idea of Washington, D.C. is that because D.C. is insulated from
this. You were just up in Washington, and you say this is still not even open.
No, it could barely handle just the cherry blossoms and the tourists being back because the security is not used to having to deal with anybody being there. Corporations are not back yet. I mean, Congress is back, obviously, but it had just opened up to outside visitors. I ran into a buddy of mine at the Republican Club there because the lines got so long to get back into just a House building to go for a meeting that people still can't really utilize. It's not, you know, Congress is being still shut down. And listen, today when Nancy Pelosi tested positive with COVID, they're going to keep using that as a reason why to keep the
like
people
I said,
out.
The Attorney General tested positive too. They were all at some event, I guess, some dinner, and it went around.
Yeah, so we are joined right now by the House Republican Whip, Steve Scalise, Congressman from Louisiana. Congressman Scalise, you were at the Energy and Commerce Subcommittee. You're on that committee on oversight investigations. You saw the Democrats come out hard trying to make this all about the oil companies. It's their fault in what we're paying at the pump. You countered aggressively about who's really to blame.
Yeah, you know, when you look at what they were trying to do, Biden came in and as a candidate said he was going to stop oil companies from being able to drill in America. It's what he said as a candidate. And then day one, he started doing it, you know, killed the Keystone Pipeline, not approved any new drilling on federal lands, on private lands, no new pipelines, no new export terminals for LNG. All of that Biden did. And of course, the price started spiking day one when he came in as president, kept going up. It was over 45% higher before Russia invaded Ukraine. And so then people are furious, by the way. You know, for the last 6 months, people have been furious about gas prices. And he tried to start blaming other people because he knew he couldn't open up drilling in America because the crazy nuts on the left don't want drilling in America. Now, they don't mind taking oil from Russia of all people. Biden's begging Russia. He's begging Iran, you know, dictators in Venezuela to produce more oil, but he won't produce it in America. And I called him out on it. And I pointed to all of the rules and regulations. And it was a stack of rules and regulations Biden's put in place from every federal agency imaginable to stop drilling in America. And then when the price goes out, they try to blame everybody else and nobody's buying it because they know it's not true.
You know, Congressman, this is Jay. One of the things that it's mind boggling to me is that 18 months ago, we were energy independent. We were exporting more oil than we needed. And 18 months later, now we're depending on Venezuela. When you talk with the Biden administration people, what are they saying to justify this?
Well, you know, this is why they keep trying to throw all these red herrings and roadblocks and, oh, it's because the oil companies are greedier. It's because of Putin or, you know, gee whiz, he tried calling Saudi Arabia, which is part of a cartel, a monopoly, and trying to beg them to produce more oil. They wouldn't even take Biden's call in Saudi, in part because they're livid that he's negotiating to give Iran a nuclear weapon. And he's helping negotiate that deal with Russia while Russia's murdering people. You know, Putin's being a war criminal in Ukraine and Biden's negotiating with Russia to give Iran a nuclear weapon. This is madness. And so what I tell him is you don't need to reinvent the wheel. As you pointed out, Jay, we were energy independent. Not only were we able to help our friends around the world, Americans were paying less than $2 a gallon. Just a year and a half ago, it was good policy that got us there. You know, we were, by the way, we were lowering carbon emissions in America. If you're worried about carbon emissions, we were lowering carbon emissions when other countries were increasing their carbon emissions. And so shutting down American energy actually results in higher carbon emissions. So if that's what they're talking about, the Green New Deal and saving the planet, make more things in America. We wanted, they called all the oil execs, the big five oil and gas company heads, and that was the Democrat witnesses. So then they said, you can get one witness. And we asked to bring the Secretary of Energy as our witness. You know, they would not let the Secretary of Energy come testify. How ludicrous is that? Because she's anti-American energy like the rest of them.
Yeah, I mean, Congressman Scalise, it's, again, these are big oil companies. And the idea is that if you're one of these executives right now, I would feel like, even if the Biden administration said tomorrow, okay, go do it, I wouldn't trust them. There's no, as someone who with investors in my company, I wouldn't say we should go spend billions of dollars to reopen Keystone right now, because I don't trust this administration from 6 months from now saying, no, you're shut down again.
Yeah, and this is the problem when, you know, listen to some of their rhetoric, you know, and they keep changing their tune, by the way, which tells you they're lying. Because a couple of weeks ago, you heard Jen Psaki going, oh, the oil companies have 9,000 leases. They've got more land leased than the states of New Jersey and Connecticut or whatever. I mean, let's go look at that. And we did, by the way. By the end of that day, we had already pointed out how that was a fallacy, because most of those leases are either dry holes, because you test wells, some of them are dry, not every one of them is a gusher. But then after you find out, okay, there might actually be oil under this block of land, you have to go get about 10 more permits. And they use things like the Endangered Species Act to block you from drilling. They'll use the Clean Water Act or the Clean Air Act, and they'll get every federal agency blocking you. They get environmental groups coming after you. And so the companies just throw up their hands and they go, I can't actually develop this well that I have a permit for because the federal government won't let me go do it. They're blocking it on every turn.
Yeah. Congressman, I want to change focus for just a bit. So the administration is talking about removing Title 42. You're looking at a mass migration situation at the border, and they're giving cell phones as the way to stay in touch with people that are coming to the United States illegally. Your comments on this?
I mean, my God, again, another completely self-created crisis by Joe Biden. Joe Biden walked in to a secure American border. You know, President Trump, when he came in, there was an open border. You've seen the pattern. You know, Obama, Biden, they want open borders. They want to have no national security, no ability to secure our border. So Trump comes in, he says, you know what? We're going to actually start securing the border and building a wall. He talked about the wall during the campaign. He actually got an agreement with Mexico to the Remain in Mexico policy. So instead of coming into America to seek asylum, you stay in Mexico. What happened? Most of the claims for asylum are fake. They're false, over 90% of them. And people knew that, so they said, well, we know that the game's over. We can't come to America. So they just stopped. They didn't even come to Mexico. They just stayed in their countries. You know, and again, you want to come to America, there's a legal way to do it. We let over 1 million people a year in our country. We're more generous than anywhere in the world, but we're a nation of laws, and we've got to get back to those laws. So Biden immediately said, don't build the wall, get rid of Remain in Mexico, the Northern Triangle, and the border's been flooded. Now he's getting rid of Title 42, which is a tool our Border Patrol agents use to help secure the border.
Yep.
So now the drug cartels are going to be controlling our southern border even more than they already are. More fentanyl will come over, which killed 100,000 Americans last year. Fentanyl, and it's coming from the southern border.
Congressman Scalise, as always, we appreciate all of your work for us on Capitol Hill, for your country, for your constituents. Folks, we'll be right back on Seculo. Taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. We've got a matching challenge this month of April as well. It's an important month for us as we continue to expand our work. That's aclj.org. Be right back.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever.
This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, welcome back to Seculo. We're going to take your phone calls, 201-800-684-3110. With Rick Grinnell, we're going to get into some of this Hunter Biden laptop. More nonsense coming out from the media because they're all being called out. Everywhere they go, at every speaking event they go to, these journalists for, why did you not cover this? And some of it's just getting absurd. So I'll save that for when Rick is on in the next segment, because the excuse they make, and I think about how obsessed they were with Donald Trump's family. Still, to this day, obsessed yes. with Donald Trump's family. They try to subpoena them on Capitol Hill. But the way they try to say, oh, well, who cares about the kids of the candidates? I mean, we'll get into it. And the next day, the broadcast.
And you also had yesterday, and we talked about this yesterday with the Durham situation. They, you know, the New York Times had to cover it, right? They had to cover it because it was a filing in a court. And they put it on page A15 with a headline that, yeah, you wouldn't read. And B, if you did, you would think it would have been anti. The headline read like, evidence makes stronger case in Trump matter. And it or something to that effect. Yes. Except it was about the DNC's guys getting charged with felonies. A felony, false statement.
Yes, I mean, so it's a you would if you got to it and you looked at the headline, you probably wouldn't read it. It looked boring, looked like something kind of dull, and it certainly didn't. It didn't. There was no Hillary Clinton in the headline. It was Donald Trump, so it made it sound like it was about Donald Trump in the Department of Justice. This whole idea, cell phones for illegal immigrants, who they call now they're irregular migrants. The Homeland Security Secretary blaming the Trump administration. We just talked to Steve Scalise. They're blaming the oil companies
yes.
for gas prices, but it's just what I said, and everybody knows it. When you have a candidate who said, I'm going to end fossil fuel, and he appoints all the people to his cabinet who support that as well, and all of his advisors.
Right.
And, you know, you have Mayor Pete goes out and said to the Secretary of Transportation, well, I'll just go buy an electric car, which the average price of is somewhere around $70,000, like everybody, anybody can't get them right now. Anyways, you could go get on a list for one and put a payment down. Maybe. But the idea that, again, that that's accessible to everyone yet, it's not. But these oil companies have no incentive as a corporation with shareholders to go and invest, even if the Biden administration said do it right now, because the idea is that they'll shut it down next year.
Well, this is the thing. When you have uncertain – so when we talk about dismantling overregulation, that gives companies the flexibility who have, as Jordan said, investors, to decide how they're going to deploy their assets. But you can't do it. A good CEO is not going to say, I'm going to deploy, you know, billions of dollars on something that may literally be changed 6 months later, or build a pipeline that the next administration comes in and they close it down, which is exactly what happened. The companies can't afford to do that. That's just not the way it works. So what you've got, and I think we have to be clear here, is this re-regulation of enterprise, of private commerce, is hurting our country. It hurts our gas prices. The ridiculous nature of what they're doing on their, you know, at the border with now with these cell phones. We're going to talk about Title 42. By the way, we're going to also give you an update. The Human Rights Council has voted.
The General Assembly at the UN voted to suspend Russia from the Human Rights Council. So they are removed from the Human Rights Council, suspended from. There was an interesting vote, 93 in favor. 24 against, 58 abstentions. So it's still pretty divided UN yeah. when it comes to
any
how to deal with Russia.
We'll get more info.
They got support from China, North Korea, Iran, and Syria. And then about, you know, 20 other countries.
Yeah, that gives you a little bit of a sense. All right, coming up, Rick Grinnell. With Rick, we're going to talk about the latest revelations on this laptop. Now, you know, we were talking about this yesterday. The finally, I have to say, the Durham probe seems to be moving along. Although I think timing-wise, they've spent more time on Durham now, or close to it, than they did on the Mueller probe. So unless there's an awful lot there, maybe there is, it's mind-boggling that it's taken this long, but it's the federal government.
Yeah, the only ideas I have is that that everyone's slow-walking and they're not getting any yes. support. So while they technically are getting allowed to exist by the Department of Justice and by the Biden administration,
they may not be getting help.
No one is pushing to get the information to them, so they're having to drag every bit of info they get out. But still, very frustrating when you're talking about, you know, this law, he's been indicted, and, you know, they've got the text message that makes it pretty easy to either flip him to a witness or go move forward, get a plea to something. But again, we have Rick Grinnell coming up. We'll take your phone calls as well, 1-800-684-3110.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Secular. We're just getting, you know, to skim the surface of what is in Hunter Biden's now confirmed laptop 2 years later. More about Joe Biden's brother being involved, more about Joe Biden himself being involved, the individuals that now we know about, you know, the recommendations to college by to some of these Chinese businessmen. But the media, remember, still kept the lid on this for 2 years and decided, you know what, we're just not going to cover it. And there was a question. So, University of Chicago, David Axelrod, former Obama chief of staff and advisor, Democrat strategist, who's at University of Chicago, was hosting a forum for students with Ann Applebaum, who's a staff writer for The Atlantic.
Right.
Student asked a great question. We're going to play it for you right now. The response is just, it is absurd. Take a listen, Byte 36.
So in 2020, you wrote, those who live outside the Fox News bubble do not, of course, need to learn any of the stuff about Hunter Biden, referring to his laptop, of course. A poll later after that found that if voters knew about the content of the laptop, 16% of Joe Biden voters would have acted differently. Now, of course, we know a few weeks ago, the New York Times confirmed that the content is real. Do you think the media acted inappropriately when they instantly dismissed Hunter Biden's laptop as Russian disinformation? And what can we learn from that in ensuring that what we label as disinformation is truly disinformation and not reality?
I mean, my problem with Hunter Biden's laptop is, I think, totally irrelevant. I mean, it's not whether it's disinformation or, I mean, I don't think the Hunter Biden's business relationships have anything to do with who should be president of the United States. So I don't find it to be interesting. I mean, that would be my problem with that as a major news story.
First of all, that laptop's pretty darn interesting. I mean, for a lot of different reasons, Rick. You've got Hunter Biden's drug use on there. You've got business deals. I mean, it's interesting. If you're a reporter, it's tough to look away from that laptop. Let's all be honest. But right away, the idea that it's irrelevant to who's president, when the big guy is mentioned in it, and I mean, I just see how Donald Trump's kids have been treated, still are being treated by committees in Congress going after them. Yep. The idea that this is still the talking point by the media, Rick, that I just don't care about this laptop. I don't want to know what's in it.
I think it's time that we kind of move Ann Applebaum from a reporter or journalist into the activist category, because third world propagandists have nothing on her. She literally just told the world in the most elitist way that she is covering for Joe Biden and the Democrats. She's done this. We've all known this. You see her writings, and she is a third world propagandist of the highest degree. I am not sure how she is allowed to be presented in front of students as someone who is not anything but a left-wing activist. And shame on David Axelrod for allowing this one side to be told to the students without telling the other side. What has happened to our universities? Why aren't we able to have a thoughtful discussion, present both sides, and let students, let university kids develop their own viewpoints? David Axelrod is part of the problem when he presents information to students that's totally one-sided, coming from the Democratic Party mouthpiece.
Yeah, I'll tell you why this doesn't happen, Rick, and that is, and I've done this, and I know you have too, the universities, which used to be deemed the marketplace of ideas, this is the place you would meet and you'd have different viewpoints, and you'd argue those viewpoints out, and the students would ask questions, and they could even be aggressive questions. But it's not that anymore. It is now a hotbed of discontent, so that when you go to a university, which who would go to anymore? I mean, why would you put yourself through this? I mean, everybody's had this experience, I think, to one degree or another. You're invited in to speak. You're heckled out. Now, I didn't get heckled, but I had the most obnoxious questions. And I basically said, I am your guest, and this is the way you treat, you're treating your guests. But it's irrelevant because it's just the way it is now. Now, let me ask you on the follow-up on this. I don't understand for the life of me, and you know, you've been in the government world as a long time as I have, how the media could just say, we said this on the Durham stuff yesterday. It was a big filing in the Durham case, right? So the New York Times puts it on page 815 with a headline you couldn't even, in fact, the headline sounded like Donald Trump was in trouble, when it was actually about an indictment for the Clinton campaign's lawyer. And they get away with this.
I think that it's high time that we completely dismiss all of these DC types who are never going to change. Let's be honest. The Ann Applebaums of the world, the New York Times, the Atlantic, all of these papers, all of this content is literally third world propaganda for the Democrats. We know this. Why do we pound our heads asking them to change? I think what's best is that we out their hypocrisy, we dismiss them, and then we look to get the real story out in different ways. We cannot rely on them any longer. We have to be able to get the truth out in other forms. And that's why I think, look, this is a shameless plug for ACLJ, but I'm telling you that if you don't have the ability to fund content creators like ACLJ, then you are going to rely on the CNNs, the APs, and the Ann Applebaums of the world to spin false stories. This is why 2 years later, we're still talking about whether or not this story is true. And 18 months later, we're still having reporters deny Hunter Biden's laptop is relevant content. And so I say we dismiss them, stop paying for their paywalls, and start supporting content creators like ACLJ. This is something that you get for free, but you should give, and you should make sure that we have the voice and we have the ability to really push out the correct content, the truth.
Yeah, folks, you can support our work at ACLJ.org. We got a matching challenge right now this month of April, so you can double the impact of your donation. As Rick said, part of what we do, we've got attorneys, we've got government affairs experts, we have people like Rick on our team, and we bring you the broadcast every day. A lot of brain power goes into what we were going to provide you for this hour. We had Steve Scalise earlier on oil and gas. We, you know, issue by issue by issue, so that you come away with this from this broadcast informed. We're not just recycling news over and over again throughout the day. It's something unique. We're even thinking now, topic by topic, how you can take something away from every 5 minutes, basically, you listen to this broadcast. And we're doing that. Yes. Oh, yeah, with this issue. This is not an issue of just, it's wild pictures of Hunter Biden, and it's trying to make Hunter Biden look bad. Joe Biden is mentioned in it. His brother's in the business deals with the spy chief of the Chinese Communist Party. I mean, so when you, and you're taking, you got sports cars coming in from other oligarchs around the world. I mean, and the Ukrainian issue is right in the middle of this laptop. You got the guy who found the laptops now hiding out in Switzerland, afraid for his life.
Yeah. Now you put all that together, and you realize that this is. Listen, we had an entire impeachment over a phone call.
Yeah.
Okay.
No
over
laptop
a
of data.
Phone call, and right, and with a smoking gun evidence was a phone call that was transcript was released, so everybody knew what was on the call. I mean, this is how the nature of we know this. This is the nature of the body politic. Rick, I want to switch gears for a minute here. We're about to have a disaster on the border again. Now the Biden administration is talking about giving what they're calling irregular
migrants,
and people that come here illegally, giving them cell phones, literally giving them cell phones. And we're talking about 18,000, I guess, cell phones a day, because that's what they're talking about numbers coming in, and lifting Title 42 at the same time. And there's bipartisan opposition to this, including bipartisan legislation saying don't do this, yet they're doing it.
You know, one of the most frustrating things about this story and about the border is that the left and the Biden team is trying to paint people who call this out and Republicans and Democrats and thoughtful people saying, why are you giving phones away to illegal people who are breaking the law? One of the most frustrating things is they somehow paint us as being, you know, not nice, as being mean-spirited towards immigrants. And nothing could be further from the truth. You look at first and second generation Americans, they're supporting conservatives like never before. We are the most generous country in the world when it comes to immigration, and we love that. We just want people to follow the rule. You shouldn't reward people who break the law. You shouldn't reward people with a cell phone, especially when we've got border problems. Close the border and let's put the focus on those waiting in line and getting more people legally into the country through the rules rather than having line jumpers.
Yeah, Rick, as always, we appreciate everything you provide to us, both on the broadcast, behind the scenes as well. And as Rick said, this is the new world we're living in. You got to get your content outside of the mainstream. Because the mainstream media, like we talked about yesterday, if you were trying to learn about the Durham report, you picked up the New York Times, you even got to A15, you would see the headline and you'd think it was about Donald Trump being in trouble with the Department of Justice, honestly. Or more benign than that, just boring. Instead of the fact that Hillary Clinton's lawyers are indicted, they've got the actual text of him lying to the FBI. And it's also got the FBI's notes with their little dashes. By the way, this is Hillary Clinton's lawyer who came in and said he's not here for Clinton, but he's got dirt on Donald Trump. And a Russian bank and a hospital communicating. I mean,
the hospital's communicating with. I mean, really, please.
Wild, wild allegations.
But the FBI went along with it.
Actual laptop with the hard drive on it that he dropped off in Delaware. And they don't want to look. It's irrelevant to who's in the White House. Even
only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Secular, got some phone calls too coming in. 1-800-684-3110 on Title 42 on the cell phones, free cell phones, you know, for illegal. Well, no, don't call them illegal, irregular. I don't know if that's nicer either. I mean,
no, it sounds worse.
Yeah, like what's wrong? What's
they're humans.
Yeah, they're human beings.
I mean,
they're breaking the law. That's what's the illegal part.
They're not irregular humans, but yeah. Okay. All right.
It is the whole problem. The fact that we're self-generating, as we've talked to Steve Scalise, we talked to Rick, I mean, it is self-creating a humanitarian crisis. It's like dealing with what Europe is dealing with right now with the migrant crisis out of Ukraine, but doing it intentionally. You know, right. Russia invaded Ukraine with a war of choice that caused that problem. So the Europeans are dealing with a situation that they didn't have control over.
Exactly.
This we have control over, and we're creating it.
So I want to go to Colonel Smith on this first, because we had a very interesting call earlier about, can't the National Guard on the border do something? But that's just not the way it works.
No, it cannot do that unless they're federalized by the president himself, you know. And so they are very, very limited, and they can assist the governor in public safety, and they've done some of that. They cannot round up people and summarily ship them somewhere. That is totally against the law. But it is a real crisis on the border. You know, Jay, it's a national security crisis and a moral crisis. In this fiscal year, which started October the 1st, the people that have been apprehended at the border, not the getaways, from 150 different countries. This is a huge national security issue. You know, at 9/11, Jay, one of the things that came out in the 9/11 commission was that what we had in America was a failure of imagination. We could not imagine that 18 terrorists would use airplanes to fly them into buildings to kill thousands of people. What we are doing now, Jay, is a failure of imagination on what's going to happen from a national security perspective, that terrorists, they know our border is open and they will attempt to cross the border and inflict chaos in America.
But here's one of the things I want you to understand. And this is in the Secretary of Homeland Security said that they're going to do it. They're not going to put inhumane situations in place. But we all know, everybody knows, and we at the ACLJ know particularly, that this is a drug crisis at the border and a sex trafficking crisis at the border that is primarily minors that are being sex trafficked in this situation.
Right. And we've been at the ACLJ, we've been involved in the minor sex trafficking, trying to regulate that and get people, you know, aware of what's going on. You open the borders and it's unlimited. It just is exponentially. It just shoots up trafficking.
And it doesn't just affect the border states, because what these sex traffickers use, once the coyotes get them in, is they go right up the interstates to every community in the United States. Right. No one's immune.
It's not just a border state. Every single one of the 50 states and the District of Columbia are affected by sex trafficking.
We did a major project a couple of years back with our friends at Shared Hope International. We did the legal work for it called Protected Innocence Legislative Framework and Methodology. We looked at the laws of all 50 states and put together methodology that those states could adopt to combat this.
Right, and it was a huge undertaking. So we looked at the laws in all 50 states and D.C., and we identified six key areas: criminalization of domestic minor sex trafficking, criminal provisions addressing demand, criminal provisions for traffickers, criminal provisions for facilitators, protective provisions for the child victim, and criminal justice tools for investigation and prosecution. And within those six areas of law, there are several areas that affect the policy in a state's code. So it was massive undertaking.
And it affected the laws now in a lot of states. I mean, many, many states adopted this. Go ahead, Jordan.
Yeah, we got a lot of phone calls coming in, too. I want to get to some of those. 1-800-684-3110 on the border. Let's go to Jesse first in New Mexico on line one. Hey, Jesse.
Hey, guys. How you guys doing? Really appreciate what you do.
Sure.
So I'm a federal employee, and to keep from giving out my personal phone
to clients. As a federal employee, I had to buy my own phone. I wasn't forced to, but to do my business properly or do.
Yeah, right. So you don't have your personal phone out there. So you had, so you're working for the federal government. So you have your phone for work, your phone for personal. That's a normal thing in the United States. A lot of people do that. But the idea that this is what I talk about here. This is not just a free phone. How long is this contract good for? Unlimited? I mean, how much is the government paying some one of these telecom companies? Yeah, I mean, well, this is the idea because it's not done in 6 months. You're not even getting your hearing for multiple years. So if they're even being honest, which I don't know how they're being, if they're even being honest, we paid for multi-year contracts for these people?
Well, okay, does any of this from a policy standpoint, Wes, make any sense whatsoever?
Absolutely not. The Biden administration is literally doing nothing to secure the border and to deal with the sex trafficking, the human trafficking. They are actually making it worse. I'm here to tell you, people who are from impoverished countries in Central and South America, we're already, you know, offering them a lot of benefits. They know they will get health care. They know they will be treated kindly. Now we're offering them cell phones. And that is like a magnet. The Biden administration, rather than trying to secure the border, is doing more and more to entice people to cross our border.
Like a benefit.
It is a benefit.
Come to the United States, get a free cell phone.
Right.
What prevents them from handing it to somebody else so that when the call comes in, they say, I'm sorry, that's not this person's number? Of course, nothing. This is where none of this makes any sense.
Yeah, let me go to Roger in Minnesota on line three. Hey, Roger.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I'm about 100 miles from the Canadian border, and I'm wondering, does Title 42 cover our northern border too?
It does for people if they came in and were applying for asylum. So, of course, there's not the same kind of migrant crisis at the northern border, and so there's not the same issues. But yes, I mean, it does apply. It was something utilized that so long as this pandemic is happening around the world, we're going to make it easy for our Customs and Border Patrol agents to expel people, even if it's an asylum claim. No, we're not going to deal with that right now because we can't risk the spread of new variants and new COVID, which is happening as we speak right now in cities like Washington, D.C.
Right.
So when Governor Abbott in Texas says, you know what, we should charter buses, and he says they're going to do that, charter buses and let people decide if they want to go there, because those kind of places are fairly immune from this crisis.
So interesting, 7,500 phones a day, if that's all they gave out, at $500 per phone for 30 days would only cost the American taxpayer $112 million a month, plus the cost of the cell service. If you want it, if you're going to triple that or double that, it would only cost us $24 million a month. All right, but I do want to get to this. So we talked about this briefly. Russia has been moved off or at least suspended?
Russia has been suspended from the Human Rights Council. The General Assembly just voted and they had the two-thirds that they needed, 93 in favor, 24 against, 58 abstentions. They've been removed from the Human Rights Council and they're the first permanent member of the Security Council to ever be removed from a UN body.
Significant, Wes?
Absolutely significant. I mean, the entire world is sending a message of Vladimir Putin and the condemnation of his actions. And yet he is still belligerent. He is still continuing to kill civilians, to bomb cities. The bombardment in Ukraine has not stopped. He has moved his troops around like pieces on a chessboard and continues to wage war.
All right, folks. A lot of issues covered today. We always encourage you, our broadcast stays up on Rumble. It stays up on Facebook and YouTube. You can continue to share it with your friends and family. And support the work of the American Center for Law and Justice. You can double your impact your donation. We have a matching challenge this month as well in April, where, again, whatever you donate, we have a group of donors. They're going to match it. These are critical months for the ACLJ. They're very important to the work that we do. They allow us to continue the work, but also to expand the work of the ACLJ. So donate online at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. You're not just supporting this broadcast. But as Rick Grinnell said today, that is more and more important as the media becomes more and more partisan, that this broadcast cuts through that and gets you just the truth. It's just about talking about the truth, what is really happening in our country and these policies. ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.